We thank you, dear Lord God, for this day, for watching over us and keeping us and protecting us and guiding us. And as we come together in the study of your word on today here at the Queen's Ministry Bible Breakfast Fellowship, we pray that you be in our midst. We thank you, Lord God, for this opportunity, this season of time that you allow us to come together in worship and study. Now, Lord God, bless the participants, those that may listen to this at a later date. We're asking that you, Lord God, would bless them to receive just what we're sharing, God, and that the word would be a blessing to them, a benefit to them, something that they can hold on to and strengthen them. We thank you again. As we study your word about your promises, we know, Lord God, that you are a promise keeper. Amen. And that you, Lord God, will say it and you can perform it. Now, Lord God, bless this time. And we ask that you would speak through us and that you would use us, Lord God, for your glory and your honor. In Jesus' name, amen. Praise God. Well, you're listening to us here at the Queen's Ministry Bible Breakfast Fellowship. I'm Elder Mary Ellis, and I welcome you to our morning Bible study. And we again are in a series of teaching on the promises of God. We're talking about God's promises that we find in His Word. And we've gone over several of these promises. And as I shared in earlier lessons, we can't go through them all. It would take, I would say, a lifetime, because as we have noted, there's over 7,000 promises in the Word pertaining to what God has said that He would do. So we're only pulling out a few. So we talked in our last lesson about the promise of provision and the promise of peace and the promise of His presence. And so today we begin with the promise of His protection. And before we jump into that particular item, I want to read again in your hearing our verse that we are building our lesson upon, and that is found in Psalms 145 verses 13, that B clause. And this is the NIV version, and it says, "The Lord is faithful to all His promises and loving toward all He has made." So we are dissecting that particular psalm or that particular verse in our lesson in these next few weeks. And so far, we talked about God being faithful. We talked about His faithfulness and how He has performed all those things that He said that He would do. And so on today, we just want to say to you that we can rely upon the faithfulness of God. Because if God says it, He sure enough will bring it to pass. If God has declared it in His word, He sure enough will bring it to pass. So we want to say today that we can stand on, glory to God, the promises of God, and He is faithful. What is faithful? It doesn't hurt for us to go back over the definition of the word faithful. And we see that the word faithful is someone that is loyal, conscientious, accurate, and reliable. Definitely things we see in God. Also, we see that faithfulness is the quality of steadfast loyalty or firm adherences to promises. Didn't I say to you, if He said it, He declared it as a promise to His people, He will deliver. He has a firm adherence to bringing forth His promises. Oh my goodness, you ought to get excited right there. And so we've said in these last several weeks of talking to you that God is one that will fulfill His promises, and that we can stand on His promises with the assurance that he will bring them to pass. So again, we talked about the promise of provision, the promise of peace, the promise of his presence. And today we start with the promise of his protection. Let's look at Psalms 91 and 2, a favorite psalm that we all know, because it talks about dwelling in the secret place of the Most High God and abiding under the shadow of his power and his might. And that God is our refuge and strength. But if we go down to that second verse and read it in its entirety, it says this: I will say of the Lord, he is my refuge and my fortress, my God, in him I will trust. This psalm's talks about abiding in the presence and the safety of God. The psalm's talks about things may go on around us, things may happen around us, but we have the assurance that God can keep us. Listen, let me read one more verse in your hearing. He says, the writer says here, because you have made the Lord, who is your refuge, even the Most High, your dwelling place, that no evil shall befall you, nor shall any plague come near your dwelling, because God will keep you. He will give, as the writer says, angels charge over you to keep you in your ways. Oh, praise God. So God is our protection. Yes, he is. He is our fortress, our strong tower. When we get into the habit the practice of being in his presence, we find that not only being in his presence brings joy, glory to God, but it brings safety. Can I get an amen, somebody? Yes, being in his presence not only brings joy, but brings safety. In his presence, we understand that we get protection also. So the two go hand in hand. His presence brings protection. Amen. And we see in his presence, not only do we find the joy and the safety that we need, but things like fear begins to dissolve and go away, and doubt drops by the wayside. Come on here. And those anxieties that we may be experiencing, they become null and none effect, meaning they don't hold the power over us like they might have when we're not in the presence of God. Because in his presence and in under his presence, we find the protection and we find what we need, which is safety and the calmness and the peace that we seek. So we can face the situations and we can face the circumstances. Remember, God says that he is an ever-present help in the time of trouble. And so we can rely upon God's presence to bring his protection. Let's also go to Proverbs 1 and 33 and see what Proverbs 1 and 33 has to say about being in God's presence and God's protection. Proverbs 1 and 33. Go with me to that particular book and go down to that 33rd verse and let us read it. It says, but whoever listens to me will live in safety and be at ease without fear of harm. Let me read it one more again. But whoever listens to me will live in safety and be at ease without fear of harm. Let me read it in the New King James. It gives it a little bit different twist to the words and helps us to even understand more what we're talking about. But whoever listens to me will dwell safely. Amen. And will be secure. Come on here, somebody, without fear of evil. So we can have, again, that calmness and that peace of mind, knowing that we're under the protection, under the umbrella of His covering, and He will keep us. Amen, somebody. Praise God. So that is God's promise of protection. We see it right there. But the key to that is, listen, and Bishop talked about that today in his presentation, his sermon presentation, when he said that Abraham was called a friend of God. And one of the reasons God looked upon him as friend, because Abraham was obedient. Amen. Abraham was obedient. And we need to also be obedient. Hallelujah. Because that's what the word says right there. I'm speaking what the word says, and whoever listens to me will dwell in safety. So we thank God today that we can receive God's promise of protection by living in relationship with Him and following and listening and responding to Him in the right manner. Praise be to God. Let's move on to the next promise here. Number 5 says His promise of life now and eternal. His promise of life now and eternal. God does offer to us eternal life. Let's see what the word says. Go to John 1:4. That's a New Testament book. John 1:4. And let's see what it says about God's promise of eternal life. John 1:4 says, "In Him was life, and the life was the light of men. In Him was life, and the life was the light of men." God has promised us life, now and eternally. Through whom? In Him is Jesus. In Him was life, and the life was the light of men. God has offered us life now. He said, who has the Spirit has life. Amen. Who is attached to God has life. He offers us life now. Jesus said, I have come that you might have what? Life, and that more abundantly. So we don't have to wait to enjoy life on the other side. But that's something we can look forward to. But we can receive it now. Jesus is saying, if you are in me and I am in you, I can offer you not a life where nothing will happen, but when things do happen, you have a source to rely upon to get you through the difficulty, to get you through the challenge, to get you through whatever you may be facing. And I also offer you life where you can look out and see the goodness of the Lord. You don't have to look out at the gloom and the doom, but you can look at the hope. You can look at the goodness of God, the blessing of the Lord around you. Remember the psalmist says, I would have fainted if I had would not have believed that I would see the goodness, the good life that God offers. Hallelujah. In relationship to Him, I would have fainted dead if I would not have believed that I would see that goodness in the land of the living. Amen. What did God offer the children of Israel in the promised land? A land flowing, overflowing. Well, He offers that to us too. Hallelujah. Praise God. And it may not come how we want it to come, but we thank God that He can offer us a good life. He can offer us a life that is filled with His goodness. Amen. A life that He says, I can give you that is abundantly overflowing. Praise be to God. That promise is ours too, and we can grasp hold to it. Amen. That even through the rough times, and we know they come, but when we go through the rough times, we just hold on and He'll carry us through. But let's talk about that eternal life also. Let's go to John 3, that third chapter, and 36th verse. What does He say? Amen. He says in His word, He who believes in the Son has everlasting life. He who believes in the Son has everlasting life. Real simple, isn't it? We just have to believe in the Son and we can have everlasting life. In this particular chapter of John, Jesus is speaking to the disciples, but also he is speaking to this particular individual who came to him with the question, what must I do to receive eternal life? And Jesus answered him, and he assures him that he can receive it, but it is a spiritual thing. And at the time, this particular individual wasn't quite understanding what Jesus was talking about. But Jesus broke it down. He says, that which is born of the water and born of the Spirit is who will be able to enter into the kingdom of God. That which is born of the water and of the Spirit is the one that will be able to enter into the kingdom of God. And that which is born of the flesh will not be able to. So Jesus said it real simply to the individual, marvel not, I say unto you, you must be born again. You must be born of the water and of the Spirit. Amen. But eternal life is ours also by our faith in the Lord Jesus. And because God so loved the world, this is a real familiar verse, so you all can recite this too, that he gave his only begotten Son, that whoever believes in him should not perish, get this, but have everlasting life. So the promise of eternal life, a life after this side of the equation ends, is available to those that believe in Jesus and believe that God offers us all eternal life. Amen. So the promise of life now and later is available to us all. Let's move on. The promise of forgiveness and mercy. We went through this this particular point several weeks ago when we talked about the characteristics of God, and that is of love, forgiveness, grace, and mercy. But we see that promise of forgiveness and mercy is ours. God offers it to us. He affirms it in his word that he will offer us his forgiveness. Let's go to Daniel 9:9. That's not too familiar of a book that we used too often, but let's go to Daniel 9:9 and see what the word of God has to tell us about the promise of forgiveness and God's mercy. To the Lord our God belong mercy and forgiveness. Amen. Though we have rebelled against him, he still offers it to us. Amen. To the Lord our God belong mercy and forgiveness. To the Lord our God belongs mercy and forgiveness. And though we may have rebelled against him, he still offers us mercy and forgiveness. And we ought to be excited about that and thankful that God offers us out of his abundance of mercy, his abundance of forgiveness, he offers to those that are willing to believe. How much so? Well, let's go into the New Testament and what Jesus say right there while they're crucifying him. He said, Father, forgive them. Father, forgive them. Right there on the cross when he could have called down the heavenly hosts to come to his rescue. He endured the cross, and even enduring the cross, going through the suffering, he still was compassionate and loving and offered up mercy and grace to those even around him. To the Lord our God belong mercy and forgiveness. You don't think so? Well, you try him for yourself and see if he won't be a God of mercy and a God of forgiveness. Even as the writer says, it's by the mercies of God that we are not consumed. It is by God's mercy that he does not destroy us because of the things that we do. To the Lord our God belong mercy and forgiveness. In his word, he tells us, if you cry out to the Lord for forgiveness with a heart of repentance, he will forgive. Amen. If we cry out with a heart of sorrow and ask God to forgive us, if we confess our sin before the Lord, he is faithful, there's that word again, and just to what? To forgive us. That's 1 John 1:9 that says, if we confess our faults, if we confess our sins to God, he is faithful and just to forgive us. So, to the Lord our God belong mercy and forgiveness. God offers us mercy instead of his wrath. Amen. God offers us mercy instead of his right position to punish us. Matter of fact, Jesus said, I'll take it, Father. And he has, on our behalf, endured the discipline in our place. So we ought to thank God today for his grace, his mercy, and his willingness to forgive. To the Lord our God belong mercy and forgiveness, and he does offer it to us when we seek him with a heart of repentance. Oh my God, thank you, Father. Let's move on to item number 7, his promise of redemption and salvation through his grace. We're going to look at that in Ephesians 1:7. Let's all turn to Ephesians 1:7. Give you a short second to jump over into the New Testament and go to Ephesians 1:7. In Ephesians 1:7, we find, in him being Jesus, we have redemption through his blood, the forgiveness of sins. There is the tie-in again. To the Lord our God belong mercy and forgiveness, according to the riches of his grace. I'm going to repeat that. Ephesians 1:7 says, in him, in Jesus, we have redemption. We've been redeemed, bought with a price, and that price is through the blood of Jesus. We have the forgiveness of sins, and that is according to the richness of God's grace. Can I get an amen, somebody? That is in accordance to God's grace. What the Lord offers us through his Son is a redeemed life, a life where the penalty of sin has been paid by our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. And that again ties into that promise of life now. That's how we can enjoy a life now in fellowship and relationship with God, because of that redemption we received through his Son. Amen. So they all tie in somewhere to each other, where God's promise of life and God's promise of forgiveness and God's promise of redemption and salvation ties into life now and everlasting life later. Amen, somebody. Praise God. So the promise of redemption and salvation through his grace is given to us as believers. How do we receive it? By believing in Jesus, by accepting him as Lord and Savior. Amen. And he has given us that redemption in place of the punishment for our sins. Praise be to God. Let's move on to number 8. And we're talking about his promise of deliverance from danger, from temptation, and even from our enemies. We go back to the Old Testament and we go to Psalms 34. Let's all jump over there, Psalms 34. And we go to that 17th verse, Psalms 34. In that 17th verse, and it reads, "The righteous," that's us, y'all, "the righteous cry out, and the Lord hears and delivers them out of all their troubles." Wow. The righteous cry out, and the Lord hears and delivers them out of all their troubles. Amen. And so we thank God today that God has promised to be with us. We know in his word that he promised to never leave us nor forsake us. And if we go down to that 19th verse right there in that Psalms 34, we see that many are the afflictions of the righteous, but the Lord what delivers him or deliver them out of their affliction. Because he hears them, he hears the righteous when they cry out. And if you go up to the 15th verse, and it tells us why. Because the eyes of the Lord are on the righteous, and his ears are open to their cry. So that's how he can deliver us, because he's watching over us. He said in his word, "I'll watch over you." Amen. And Psalms 34 and 15 tells us that the eyes of the Lord are on the righteous. He doesn't leave us by ourselves wandering hopelessly throughout life. He's right there with us. He watches over us. Amen. And when we find ourselves in any type of danger or temptation or running from even our enemies, as David found himself to be on many occasions, he knew he could cry out to the Lord and the Lord would help him to navigate through those difficult, tough times. And the same for us. When we're going through difficult, tough times and we're faced with danger, we can cry out to the Lord and the Lord will give us a plan of action. Amen. And so we see that though many things may come our way, God has provided a way of escape. Thank you, Father. Hallelujah. Thank you, God. So we thank God today for his promises. And again, we just outline a few. You can take your time and go through the Bible and find so many more promises that God has shared with his children. But we only went over a few in these last couple of lessons just to show you that God does offer promises to us as believers in his word. So the promise of deliverance, the promise of redemption and salvation through grace, the promise of forgiveness and mercy, the promise of life now and eternally, the promise of protection, the promise of his presence, and the promise of peace is ours. Amen. When we are in fellowship and relationship with God. God offers that because he loved us so very, very much. For God so loved the world. Amen. And so with that, we can stand on those promises and know today that they are ours. Amen. If we only would believe and trust in God. Aren't you glad about that today? Aren't you thankful on today that you can stand on those promises and that they are yours? It's like being able to cash that check for $1 million, knowing that that check is yours with no strings attached, and all you got to do is just go to the bank. Well, these promises are ours, those that we have outlined here today, and there are others in the Bible. As I said, we can go through the Bible and point out all the different promises that God has offered up to us. Amen. And because of 2 Peter 1:4 tells us, and because of his glory and excellence, he has given us great and precious promises. We ought to be so thankful. And these are the promises that enable you and me to share his divine nature and escape the world's corruption that are caused by human desires. By following and adhering to God's promises places in us a desire to live for the Lord and not by the world's standard. Basically what 2 Peter here is telling us. So we are reminded that when we know what God has promised to us, we can confidently claim those things in our own life. Let me repeat that, because sometimes because we don't know what's available, we don't take advantage of that thing that's available. It reminds me of a story shared, I've even shared it myself on many occasions, of the passenger on a cruise ship to the New World coming from Europe. Book passage with the last of his savings, and only took on board a meal to last what he thought would be the end of the journey. And each day he would take a little bit out of his bag of goodies and sit down by the ship rail and eat what he had brought on board, while he looked and saw others enjoying the fullness of the banquet set before them. And near the end of the journey, he was out of the food he had prepared to bring to last, and sharing with one of the other travelers, he mentioned that he didn't know what he would do in the final days of the journey, when the fellow passenger told him, "Well, sir, all of this is available for you. When you bought your ticket, this came with the purchase of your ticket." And so for days, when this traveler sat alone eating out of his bag of goodies, he could have sat down at the banquet table, because he didn't know, because he was not aware of what was offered to him with the purchase of his ticket, he lost out on those days of feasting. So we are reminded that when we know what God has promised to us, we can confidently claim those things in our own lives. So I say that to say we need to stay in God's word and remember to receive what he has in his word, so that we can know what's ours for our living. Thank you for listening and sharing with us on today. I pray that you've been blessed by what was shared. And again, we're talking about the promises of God, and we encourage you to get in God's word, study his word, meditate on his word, so you will know what is available in his word according to his riches in glory. Be blessed, my brothers and my sisters, until we meet again. You are listening to us here at the Queen's Ministry Bible Breakfast Fellowship, and we pray you are blessed. Have a wonderful day. It is our prayer.